Hi, I'm Steph.
And I'm Jules.
And welcome to
The Babesment. Steph is a body positive photographer.
And Jules is an intuitive eating and body image coach.
And we have both dedicated our lives to empowering women to own their bodies and themselves so that they can live their biggest lives.
And now we want to welcome you into these powerful conversations.
So join us as we hear from women and anyone working through and overcoming struggles in their bodies.
We are inspired daily by the lives they live, and we can't wait to share their empowering life lessons with you.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Jules.
It's the last Monday of 2020.
Wild.
The last Monday of 2020. And as you guys know, well, I'm guessing you know, maybe you don't know because maybe you didn't listen last week. These two weeks, Steph and I have taken off.
We're on vacation, baby.
We're on vacay.
Except for we're still
houses.
At home.
Yeah. But like in our houses.
We're just not working. So we took these 2 weeks off, but we didn't want to leave you all hanging. So we thought we would re-air our very first two episodes, which you might have heard us talk about last week.
And
then you might have heard my interview. So this week, we've got Julie's interview.
Hey.
We love getting to share our stories with all of you. And like we said last week, we think it's really awesome and important for you to know us and where we come from and why we do what we do and why we're here hanging with all of you.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Also, it's like that I personally like love this week of any year. Mm-hmm. That week between Christmas and New Year's.
Man, you just coast.
Oh, it's so great. You're like, what day is it? I don't know. I'm just like drinking hot cocoa and probably some wine. I'm just like chilling and like watching movies. And like, at least I really hope that's really what you're doing. that's what I'm doing personally.
It's a pretty baller move to end your year that way.
I love it. I'm so here for it. So I just sincerely hope that you really enjoy this week.
I hope you do too. And if you want to kick off your new year next year in a really dope way, I'm doing something I never do, which is—
What are you doing?
I'm offering mini sessions.
Oh my God, mini sessions. Guys, she never does this.
I literally never do it, but I'm doing it right now because feel like it.
Y'all should do it.
So new year, same you. Goddess mini sessions are available to book throughout the whole month of January. They will not go past the end of January. I still have a few spots left. So it's a 20-minute mini. It's $225. It's a really awesome way to experience a little goddess magic and to celebrate that you are worthy and you are still you and you are amazing. You don't need to change a goddamn thing for a new year. So,
hell yeah.
Link is in the show notes. It's in my bio on Instagram. It's on my website. Whatever you want to do, sign up. Come get a mini session with me. It's going to be major magic.
So here for it. So here for it. And now without further ado,
here's Julie. So let's start from the beginning. Can you describe what your relationship with your body was like when you were young?
I can. I remember this really distinctly. And I don't know if this was exactly the first time. I have these two images in my mind. And one is fifth grade being confident as hell.
Yes.
Like I had this massive gap between my two front teeth. Mm-hmm. Massive. Didn't wear any makeup, of course, right? Because I'm in fifth grade and like, I don't know, I wasn't there yet.
No.
And I would blow dry my hair. No straightener. So I would just straight up blow dry it. And it would be like, Briz.
Yes.
And I would walk down the hallways of Holy Family School like, I am awesome. Like,
yeah, it's just owning
I
it.
I did. I really did. I was like the most confident little fifth grader you've ever met. I'm like, oh my God, like, I was so great. And so I say that because I think it makes for a really strong juxtaposition to what I remember in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And what I can remember, like the first time learning my body was wrong, because the fifth grade me, I don't think I even thought about my body. I really don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing an infomercial for Windsor Pilates. I can like remember what these two women look like. I mean, so distinctly.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first time I can remember ever really like seeing and hearing like this is how your body's meant to look. And here's a before and after. Like, oh, look at her body before. Look at her body after. Oh my gosh, you know, so toned and blah, 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 blah. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I need that.
Yeah.
Like, in the sixth grade. So do you know what I did?
What did you do?
I ordered it for my mother for a birthday present.
Oh, you bought it for your mom so that you could use it?
Yes.
I've done that.
Oh my God. And I would go, they had a TV like in their bedroom. It's like really big bedroom. It's like a kind of an awkwardly big bedroom.
I feel like that was such a thing with houses in like the early 2000s. Just these really enormous bedrooms for no reason. Yeah.
So we had all this space. I mean, we choreographed like dances in that bedroom. Yes. So I would put on the like Windsor Pilates DVD and like I had all those routines memorized. Wow. I mean, memorized. And that's how old. But then I think another big piece here too is, I know I mentioned this in the last episode, but I was like the first girl to get boobs in the grade. And I went to a Catholic grade school. Mm. So we had uniforms. Mm-hmm. So you like couldn't tell until we had a dress down day. And I mean, it's funny to think back of all the things I don't remember in my life.
Yeah.
And then the things I do.
I absolutely remember the first time I acknowledged, oh my God, I have boobs and nobody else does. And I like remember the first bra that I had that like now it's the kind of bra I only ever want to wear, which is not a real bra. It's like a camisole. But I remember being like, oh my God, I can't believe I need this.
Yeah. Right. And I remember like going on this bowling field trip and I had like a thick strap, modest, it's a Catholic school, tank top like for dress down day.
Yeah.
But it was like form fitting, right? It was like a form fitting tank top. No cleavage, of course. Like no. But like the boys would like look at my shirt and read the, you know, the text off the shirt just to like look at my boobs. Mm-hmm. And I think it was very much this, I didn't realize this was happening then, but I definitely learned, oh, people are looking at my body and they're making comments about my body and they're having opinions about my body.
Yeah.
And then that combined with that Pilates DVD, it was this message of, oh, and there's a right and wrong way to have a body. Mm. So it's like your body better look a certain way.
Yeah. That's wild. That's wild at that young of an age because you don't even really think about the fact that sixth grade, you go into it, you're 11 years old.
11 years old.
That's a child.
Started going to the gym then at 12 years old. That was the youngest you were allowed into our like neighborhood rec center. Like into like the gym area to like work out.
Yeah.
I remember going with one of my friends, we went together and hopped on the elliptical. And it was like 10 minutes of pure hell. And I remember putting on Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
What a jam for an elliptical session.
The only bright side of this whole story, because it honestly is really sad thinking of like a 12-year-old going to the... I would go to like the boot camp classes and like the step aerobics classes. Like
at 12.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, why was no one like, this is probably not a good idea. Like, why is a 12-year-old these classes?
Why is this baby in these classes?
Yeah. But I was. The only saving grace of the story is that I remember my friend and I going home to my parents' house afterwards and we ate some Chips Ahoy and milk.
Hell yeah.
So at least there was that. But as I say that, it definitely was this feeling of like, I earned this.
Mm,
right?
Was that really the first time that you felt that you had earned something that you needed to earn what you were eating?
So young. Yes. So I started stealing my mom's Weight Watchers journals and everything and would like count points.
Yeah.
I mean, middle school, right? Yeah. And like was aware of what I ate, like actively trying to lose weight. And that very quickly to me led to binging.
Yeah.
I have memories of like secretly, and I'm like, I'm surprised my mom even bought these because it's not like my mom's brand. But like, I can remember, you know what? They probably were like calorie like pudding cups or whatever.
Oh,
like
the
chocolate
calorie pack thing was huge.
I bet you that's what that was. And because that would make sense, like a diety food. But I remember getting because I would binge. I mean, I would restrict, you know, and try and count points and then I would just binge. Mm-hmm. And I remember like going in and now looking back, that was smart. Like you had good taste. I would take a spoonful of peanut butter and dip the spoonful of peanut butter in the chocolate pudding.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was like a yummy Reese's Pieces.
That sounds awesome and I want to eat it now.
You should. Everyone should go do that. It was delicious. But it was like, I was so shameful, right? And I was like, it was completely out of control.
Did you hide food in your room? Because that was a big thing for me.
I don't think so. I think I was just really good at sneaking into the kitchen and eating when no one was around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or even like I'd get home from school. Like my mom wasn't home yet.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Nighttime was the big time for me that I would sneak into the kitchen. Because also when I was really young, like around all these ages, like we talked about, my room was downstairs on the bottom floor and everybody else was upstairs. So at night, I would find my way out to that kitchen and then I would hide all of the junk food that like was in the house for my siblings. I would steal and hide in my room so that I could eat it without anybody knowing.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So that's really young to start going to the gym, to start counting calories, to start doing all of these things. What do you think, like what came next? What was high school like for you and college?
High school, I feel like, so I was a swimmer. I think that also plays a big part in my story that I sometimes just like forget about. But when you're in swimsuits all the time around a ton of kids, there's just a lot of room there for comparison.
Yeah.
Right? And I can remember also growing up too that, and I think it's important to say, I always had a small body.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think really shows just how dysmorphic I was. And it's like, I look back now and I never, ever, ever, ever in my life, maybe in the fifth grade, Julie, maybe then, but otherwise never in my life did I ever self-identify as skinny.
Yeah.
Or even thin, ever. And I look back and I'm like, I was skinny.
Yeah.
I was thin. That was like my that was my body type. I was a thin, I had a thin body.
But you didn't feel that.
Oh my God, no. I felt big.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me to see how dysmorphic my thinking was about my own body. But I grew up next to a sister who's my very best friend who has a runway model type body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just 5'10", skinny. Like she could literally be a runway model.
Yeah.
And I just a lot of friends who were just really small. Mm. I think, I don't know, it was in comparison or whatever that I felt like I was the bigger of them. And but I got in my head that like my body was wrong. It was different. You know, and I think that played a big part of like seeing my body against other bodies and like my, yeah. And so that was a big piece. And all the adults I knew were on diets.
Yeah.
All the adults were trying to lose weight, you know, and they all, of course, had wonderful intentions and, you know, meant well and they didn't mean harm by it. But I learned so young, okay, it's really bad to have fat on your body. It's not okay to be these bigger sizes, like God forbid, you know, and I learned all of that, you know, just from watching adults in my life diet. And it just seems so normal. Like, oh, that's just what you do. You go on a diet.
Well, I think the adults in the room when we were kids, I don't think we're as aware as people are becoming now that kids are learning from what you are showing to them, not just what you're saying to them. And so when we see our parents, our mothers, whoever, being like, oh, I feel so fat today. I can't fit into these jeans, like pinching at their size.
Yes.
All of these things, those things become so ingrained in us.
Yeah.
And that has such a strong effect at such an early age that I don't think anybody was very aware of. So even if you are turning and telling your child that they are perfect the way they are, if they see you modeling the behavior, that's what they're going to hold on to.
Absolutely.
Say, well, this is what adults say.
Absolutely. You see that and that's just what you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was a really big piece. And I can remember being, you know, I was in the musicals and things like that in high school and always being really self-conscious about how my body looked on stage.
Yeah.
And being next to other students that, you know, again, looking back, I'm like, I was so dysmorphic. I thought I wasn't even bigger.
Yeah. But I felt
that I was. Mm-hmm. I really, really did. And I was so self-conscious. And I remember thinking, oh, I have the secret to like, you know, being like quote unquote healthy. I would like go home and have a bottle of water and some like Kashi granola. And I was like, oh, that's the secret.
That's the secret to health.
That's the secret.
Kashi granola and water.
And this is also really important. I read magazines like the Bible.
Same.
Oh, like I was, and I would try like, oh, like blast fat with this, these like six moves. Like I would try all of that.
All those weird ab workouts.
All those weird ab workouts.
All of those.
All of them. Oh, and I was praying for the magazine that would finally have like, what's the magic pill? You know, like what's going to finally work?
Yes.
And it's just so sad to think like I was in, you know, in grade school and high school, you know, when all this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a small body.
Yeah.
And I can even remember my sister had this book on some cleanse and she did not diet at all, at all. But we did this like cleanse. It was like a liquid cleanse together that was like this weird thing of like water and maple syrup and like cayenne pepper and lemon. And some
The master cleanse.
Yes.
That's that one. Yeah.
And I lasted like 5 hours.
I have never even attempted it, but I know.
It was terrible. I mean, that's just anorexia. Like that's just completely disordered.
Yeah.
And I remember like going to a coffee shop to like study for some like test. And right then and there I gave in. I'm like, I need a freaking muffin.
You need a muffin stat.
Yeah, muffin stat. So yeah, I definitely had those diet thoughts happening in high school. Definitely felt always very aware of like what my body looks like. I never wore shorts.
Yeah.
I never wore shorts.
I was the same with short sleeves I wore. I remember being yelled at by a guy like my freshman year at a football game because it had to have been 100 degrees and I was wearing long sleeves. And he's like, take that off.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh dear God, no, nobody can see my arms.
Yeah.
That's insane.
God forbid.
God forbid somebody see my arms.
I felt the exact same way about my legs. You know, and so I never wore shorts, but I would wear jean skirts. Like I'd wear, and it's funny because if any of my friends are listening to this, and in college too, like the first couple of years of college, I didn't even wear hard jeans really. I hated my legs. I thought skirts hid my thighs.
Yeah.
And so I would only wear like these jean skirts with like leggings and like it was a look. And I did think it looked cute for sure, but it was mostly I thought I had to wear that. I didn't have the option to wear shorts or to wear pants.
You weren't allowed to wear jeans.
I wasn't
allowed to wear shorts.
Right. Like it was a thing. I remember when I first found pants that actually like were comfortable and fit my body.
Yeah.
And again, I was thin. Like, so that's just crazy. People noticed. They were like, oh my God, like you're wearing jeans. Like it was a thing. Cause
it was
never
a huge deal because
I never wore that. Right. So I think things really though really, really, really progressed. It was like a very underlying, like a very I don't know. It definitely was like disordered eating in high school for sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't yet too crazy. But I definitely had those binges and things like that started happening in high school. And then it was when I went to college and I studied abroad in Calabria, Italy this summer in between my freshman and sophomore year. Poor me. It was so terrible. It was amazing.
Poor Jules. I know. She just like
poor
had
me.
To go study
had
in
to go
Italy.
Italy. I'm thinking that way. Yeah. And so we're eating all this amazing, you know, pasta every day and meatballs and all this wonderful Italian food every day. And, you know, I was walking around the little town, but I wasn't really exercising, you know, and whatever. Yeah. And I was with these girls who were a little bit older. They were probably going to be seniors, I think. And they were like fitness people. And I remember like hearing them talk about like bikini contests and like the gym and like all this stuff. And there I am. And I definitely gained weight over that month in Italy.
Yeah.
And I came home just like, oh my God, I need to lose all this weight before going back to school. And I think too, at my school, there was a big focus on body size and on like going to the Plex is what they called the rec center, the Plex. And like going in, you know, and working out and all of that. And like, you know, only eating like chicken breasts and stuff. That was like, I think a thing.
Yeah.
Definitely in college. I was studying to become a fitness instructor so I could teach classes at the rec center.
Yeah.
Remember those Pilates DVDs that I had memorized? I had taught those in my basement of my freshman dorm.
Stop.
Like
you
from
were teaching.
Memory. I was teaching Pilates.
Wow.
But I was not certified. But I was just had a group of girls. It lasted like 2 weeks. But it happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The image in my mind is pretty funny. So I knew that I wanted to teach classes and I really had this feeling of like, oh, I can't go interview for a job at the Plex to be a group fitness instructor if I look the way I did. I was like, I have to look a certain way. I had to have a six pack. I had to like have this traditional fitness body. you know, to...
to be allowed to teach fitness to other people.
Exactly. So I went on this super extreme diet.
Yeah.
I had about a month probably in between like getting it back home from Italy and then going back to Boston for school. And it was, I mean, it was just completely disordered. And I have these memories. It was that summer that I really became bulimic.
Yeah.
And because I was just so strict with myself that if, you know, I ate something that was not on my made up plan, that I had to throw up. And I have this photo that I actually posted on my Instagram not long ago. And it's like this distinct memory of being out to dinner at this wonderful place up near Akron called Sarah's Vineyard. They had these great coal-fired pizzas or wood-fired pizzas or whatever. And we went out for pizza as like a goodbye dinner to me before I, you know, went off to college. And there I am with my family having this wonderful dinner. And it should be this like really happy occasion. And I was really good at disguising all this.
Yeah.
No one had any idea. Like when my mom found out that I struggled with any of this, she was blown away. She had no idea because I was so good at this like perfect girl persona. Like I wanted everyone to think I was fucking perfect. I had everything going. I went to Boston College. Like,
yeah, you know, you're playing the part.
Oh, I was playing the part. But inside I was, you know, fighting this battle.
Yeah.
And I can remember, you know, I had this photo from that night and I looked so happy and I went home and vomited.
Wow.
Because inside I was like, I can't eat this pizza. This pizza is, you know, it's not allowed. I'm going to gain back all the weight just from eating this pizza, right? Because I lost, you know, a significant amount of weight in that short of time, which is really bad. It was, you know, disordered eating.
Yeah.
So I got all these compliments and those compliments fed my disorder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was my sophomore year of college that it spiraled. And that's when I started working at the Plex and everything. And that's when it really started spiraling out of control into where I was really doing it a lot.
Do you feel like this was a turning point for you? Do you feel like you acknowledged at this point that what you were doing to yourself was harmful?
So, my turning point was when I was home from school for, I don't know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah.
And we had a big family party and my mom always hosted the parties and they were always big and we had tons of wonderful food. And that was always so dangerous for me because, oh my gosh, here I am and I'm at home and there's all this amazing food that I never ever like allow myself to eat. Yeah. And I couldn't stop myself. You know, it was just like, I could not stop eating. And so I like snuck upstairs, you know, to throw up. And there was this one time when I remember my sister and friend like noticed that I had been like disappearing upstairs. And the first time I was like, oh, like I just, you know, I don't know what I said, but I made up some excuse because like, why am I upstairs? There's bathrooms downstairs. Like there's no need to like be in the upstairs bathroom. And then I went up again and they followed me up and caught me like in the act. Like they were like, I went to leave the bathroom and they were standing right on the other side of the door.
Wow.
And I don't even know if like they would even like remember this now.
Yeah.
Because to them, I don't think it was that significant.
But it was very significant to you.
But for me, it was that because no one knew until then.
Mm.
And so it was like, that was the moment that I was exposed.
And you had to face it as being reality.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so I think that was my big wake up call. Like that was my turning point of when it was no longer just mine, but then somebody else had found out.
Yeah.
That this perfect girl persona that I had worked so hard to build up just got blown, completely blown.
Yeah.
And I think what also happened too is at the same time, so at this time I'm having this like wake up call of like, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I hate my body so much? You know, why is this such a battle for me? And then I was working at the Plex. So I was teaching a ton of classes.
Yeah.
Like boot camp classes, spin classes. I was doing personal training. Like, and so I was like at the Plex all the time. Like they called me Plex girl. My friend senior year dressed up as me for Halloween.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I was just there all the time. I mean, I made great money. It was awesome. It was a great college job.
Yeah.
And I loved working there. But then what that really afforded me though was I started seeing the same girls at the Plex all the time.
Yeah.
Same girls, just like me, in the dining hall, you know, getting chicken breasts and whatever.
Yeah.
And it was then that I really started realizing, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
That I think so many other girls here are struggling with this exact same thing. And so that's when I started really getting curious. And the way I started coming out of this, and since I was in college, was simply getting really nerdy about it. Like getting into the research.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like my way out, was like, let's figure out what's actually happening here and figure out like why I hate my body so much.
Yeah, let's learn about what actually causes this.
Yeah.
So what did you decide to do next?
So I landed what was then a dream internship at a national women's fitness health magazine in New York City.
Yeah.
And that was a dream because for so long I thought I wanted to work at a magazine.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an editor in chief of like, you know, I don't know, People or I wanted that whatever. Too. Yeah.
I wanted to shoot for Vogue.
Right? Right? So that was my dream. So I landed this internship. And so I spent the summer in New York City between my junior and senior years. So this is the same time that I'm starting to kind of get really curious what's going on here, what's really happening. And I was a communication major.
Yeah.
So really looking at how messages impact us. That was my whole, you know, course of study.
Yeah.
And then there I am. I was a photo intern.
Oh, hey.
I was a photo intern. I was. On my very first job, I had to take, what did they call them? I was doing a casting for something with male models and they were all in their underwear. It was a really hard job.
Yeah, I've had a lot of really hard jobs like that.
But so it was really though working there for this magazine that was like all these magazines I had read growing up, like the Bible, that everything kind of came together perfectly. You know, it was like, thank you, universe, right? I had this experience working at this magazine that's selling these headlines like, oh, blast fat with this, these moves and whatever, right?
Yeah.
As I'm studying communication and how messages impact us, as I'm getting really curious as to figuring out why I hate my body so much and why I have struggled forever.
Yeah.
And so there it was. And it was like all laid out there right in front of me. And I was like, man. And now I want to say, like, the women that I worked with at this magazine were like the greatest women ever.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so cool. They were amazing. They were smart. They were just like, they were awesome. Awesome. So just like want to put that out there. Like, they were really, really, really fantastic human beings. But I realized, I'm like, I can't work for a magazine like this. Like, I knew right then and there in my gut that it was magazines like that that hurt me so much.
Yeah.
That led to me being so disordered. And so I was like, well, shit, I don't want to work. And there I was going to be a senior in college. And my plan was.
Yeah.
Like, that was my second internship at like a big magazine like that. I had like a little tiny one over Christmas break at a different magazine. And so I was like really on that course. And then I was like, well, fuck, I can't do this. I can't contribute to other women feeling this way.
Yeah.
And it was then that I started really kind of realizing, I had this big wake up call. I got really into yoga.
Love that.
That was also the time I got into yoga. So it was like this perfect storm, right?
Yeah, it all
magazine,
came together.
College, me, I got into yoga. And I started having this realization that like I had for so long been working out because I hated my body.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wanted to change my body.
As a punishment.
As a punishment.
Yeah.
And I had this big aha of like, because I was on a mission to figure out how to love my body. Like, yeah. I was on this mission. Like, how do I do that? I need to figure out how to like love my body. And so it was through that I started working out with a whole different intention.
Yeah.
And I really made it my mission to bring that into the classes that I taught.
Yeah.
The spin class that I teach now, that everyone goes to in Columbus that knows
that
me.
I go to.
That you go to. That's how we met. That's essentially the same class I taught in college.
That's amazing.
It really hasn't changed that much. And what I mean by that, for people who haven't been to my class, you hear me say things like, why are you here? What's your intention? What are you writing for? What matters to you? Let's, you know, throw calories out the window. Like all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I embed into my classes. I very much started doing that back in college.
Oh, hey guys, it's Jules. Just wanted to drop by the middle of this episode to remind you about the fabulous 4-week experience that starts on January 4th. Y'all, that's next Monday.
All right. Jan 4th is right around the corner. And I would love to actually like meet you, to actually get to know you, to actually get to like support you inside this special 4-week experience that my friend Holly Toronto and I are offering this January called New Year's Reclamations to reclaim your body, confidence, and worth this 2021. So if you've ever thought about working with me in any capacity, this, guys, is a really good way to do so. It's only $29. It's going to be baller. You get videos. You get Facebook community, action steps, 2 coaching calls. Like, what? Yes, this is our way of helping you do something different this new year that's not some diet in disguise. It actually supports your overall health, your well-being, your self-care, like you at your core. Because my friend, you are not a self-improvement project. Your body is not a self-improvement project, all right? So we're gonna see you as a human being instead of as an object. And it's gonna be pretty great. So link in bio, link in show notes to enroll in that program. I cannot wait to meet you.
That's amazing, because I think a big thing wrapped up in exercise for a lot of us who have had disordered eating and unhealthy relationships with our bodies is that we think that if we work out hard enough, if we punish ourselves hard enough, we will love ourselves.
Yeah.
But you can't hate
yourself. It doesn't work like that.
You can't hate yourself into loving yourself. It just doesn't work that way. But we all think that it can. And so it's so powerful that even at an early age in college, you were able to find a way to transition that way of thinking in the way that you moved your body and the way you helped others move their bodies.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was big.
Yeah.
It was really, and it started simply by, I would go to take a yoga class and at the rec center that we had, and actually in the place in New York City, they both had mirrors.
Yeah.
In the rooms. And I remember going in intentionally, you know, at the beginning of class, saying, I'm here to love my body. Like, I am here to love my body.
Yeah.
And when I first started saying that, it felt like it was the farthest thing from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But that intention, when you say it over and over and over again at the beginning of every single time you go to move your body, my gosh, it really made a big difference. It really was powerful.
Yeah, you acted your way into thinking differently. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was that time too when I was in New York City, you know, working for that magazine, that I started going to yoga at this place in New York. And there was this, I loved their Monday night class. It was this fabulous, like 90-minute, hot, power, awesome class. Mm-hmm. Taught by this woman named Amber. God, if she ever listened to this, I'd be so happy. It was at a Crunch gym. I'll say that. I think I can say that. At a Crunch gym in Union Square. So Amber, if you ever come across this, she changed my life.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have the traditional yoga body. The traditional yoga body is skinny.
Totally.
Right? Like really very thin.
Very thin. Yeah.
She wasn't. She had curves. She had a belly. She had a booty. She had thighs. She had like fat on her body and was such a badass and was the best yoga teacher I had ever had. And she taught me how to do my first arm balance and like all these empowering things in yoga. And it was the first time that I saw somebody in a body like hers leading a class. And that to me was liberating.
Yes.
It was like, oh my God, like she's leading a class. That's amazing. Like then I can, then anyone can. And it just really showed me how, like it was a very big example of, hey, we're all meant to come in different body sizes. And there isn't one body size that you can look at and like, oh, that's a healthy body. Like you can't do that.
Yes.
You can't tell someone's health or fitness by how they look. You can't.
Yes.
And that's really important.
It's so important. It's so important because everybody believes that they can tell what your health is based on what you look like.
Yeah.
And that's just bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. And let's just also put this out there. Like, we don't have to. Having health is largely a privilege.
Absolutely.
That's more readily available to some than others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes money to buy organic foods, to mm-hmm. have the gym membership, you know? It takes time. It takes energy. So there's a lot of things that, you know, some of us have more of than others.
Absolutely.
And so having health is largely a privilege that's just more readily available to some than others. And so therefore, our worth, our value as human beings is not determined on how healthy we are or how fit we are.
Yeah.
And yet, don't you feel like we live in a world that says you're a better person if you're fit?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, oh, you are morally superior if you are in a fit body.
Yeah.
By what people see.
Yeah.
If you look fit, you're morally superior.
It is this idea in society that you can look at a person and you can tell their worth based on what they look like.
Yeah.
And aside from that, that it is up to you to have an opinion or to make a judgment based on that person by what they look like. When the fact is, you don't know shit about a person's health.
No.
Based on the size of their body.
And we don't have to have health to deserve respect or love.
Absolutely.
Or to be valuable or worthy.
Absolutely.
And when we back up, we can kind of see, wow, that is fucked up that like we say, oh, people are better and morally superior if they're healthy and fit. But that's how we all operate.
Yeah.
It's a definite implicit bias that I think most people have because of the diet culture that we live in that praises one body and one way of life over another. I mean, not even like if someone doesn't have the means or resources or energy capacity to pursue health or they just don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. Like you don't have to care about health.
Again, that's not your access card into respect in this life.
Right.
Just, you know, the same way we speak about beauty for women, beauty is not the rent we pay to exist in this world.
Right.
So along those same lines, what led you to your work that you do now being an intuitive eating health at every size coach?
Yeah. So from college, when I had this like, oh shit moment of like, I can't work for a magazine and like contribute to like the downfall of, you know, women everywhere.
Yeah. You know, all of the women everywhere.
All of them. All of them.
I had the same feeling.
You know, I have this like, distinct memory of being in the Plex, although a lot of my memories were in the Plex. I was very lucky to have like the best bosses at the Plex. I mean, truly like really wonderful role models who they probably don't realize. I'm like going to get emotional. Who don't realize, oh shit, I'm crying on the podcast. They don't realize what important like role models that they were for me.
Yeah.
And how much just our conversations really helped me. They have no clue. And so, woo!
Thank you to them.
Thank you to them. Truly. You never know, you guys. Like, you just never know when you're somebody's role model. And I think they didn't realize probably how deeply they really impacted me. So, lucky for those amazing women who I got to work with there. So, I had this moment, though, standing in the Plex where I'm looking around and seeing all these women who I just, you know, felt in me that had struggled like I had. And I was, you know, beginning to make my way out and come out on the other side. And I was like, I just want to help women who have struggled like me.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how. I had no idea how. And I think in my mind, I was like, oh, well, if I want to be a therapist, I have to like go to medical school and like be a psychiatrist or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to go to med school.
No.
I'm like, it's too late for that. Like, I'm a senior. Like, I'm not taking biology.
That is too much like, GD work.
Yeah. I was like, no, no. So I had been working with a health communication researcher at BC. And I was like, wow, I could like study this. I could actually go study how mass media and how interpersonal communication impacts body image.
Yeah.
Because I had seen how that had a huge impact on me, you know, and I was like, I wanted to actually study this and like dive into the research and blah, blah, blah. So that's what led me to come to Columbus. I had sworn I would never, ever move back to Ohio. I'm from Akron.
Yep. Welcome.
I was like, I'm going to go to California. And I had gotten into actually San Diego State for grad school. And I really wanted to go there. But they weren't going to pay for my school.
Mm.
And Ohio State was.
Well,
and it was a better program for me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to choose Ohio State. And I was like, I'm going to get my master's, my PhD. And then I'm going to like moved to California the day I graduate.
You're like, I'm gonna GTFO out of there.
Totally.
Joke's on you. You're still
Jokes
here.
On me. I love Columbus. So went to Ohio State to study how mass media and interpersonal comm impact body image.
Yeah.
Super research intensive master's degree. And social science research is really hard. Whenever I get really romantic about Brené Brown's work and how amazing it is, I'm like, wait, Julie, remember you fucking hated doing that research. So what I realized, my master's thesis actually included a Beyonce music video, FYI.
Of course it did. If you don't know Jules the way that I know Jules, you probably don't know how much this woman loves
Beyonce. I love her. So I realized in my master's, so most of the kids in my program, it's a combined master's PhD and you like would go on and get your PhD.
Yeah.
And I realized in my master's part, I was like, oh shit, I love learning the research. I do to this day. I'm like, this is so cool that we can like show this and prove this and that's amazing. But I hated doing it.
I totally feel that.
I hated doing it. So I was like, well shit, like I don't want a PhD. Cause I thought I'd just like work in academia. Well, working in academia is research.
Yeah.
That's all you do. So I was like, that sounds terrible. So I definitely floundered for a while. I ended up working in public health, just like it kind of fell into my lap.
Yeah.
Worked with amazing people there too. I've been lucky to work with really awesome human beings. So it was great.
You also work with a really awesome human being now.
She's right in front of me.
Hey, girl.
It's me. And so I was working there and I got my yoga teacher certification, was teaching Cycle, and I kind of started a blog. And I had in the back of my mind always that like I wanted to have my own business. I didn't yet know like what that would be. And I'd always still had this passion for wanting to really empower like women to, you know, make peace with their bodies. But I didn't know yet how to do that. I think what's also important is also during this whole like end of college, graduate school time is when I found intuitive eating.
Yeah.
Like that's big.
Yeah.
And I very much came across it organically. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is as I was really, you know, working on my own relationship to my body and to food and to exercise, I was like, I know that for me to be healthy, I need to be able to go to a restaurant and have a cheeseburger and french fries.
Yeah.
Period. And not stress and not fast and not work out extra and not throw it up.
Yeah.
Especially not throw it up. And not to even feel any sort of guilt or shame around it.
Yeah.
Like I'm being a bad person. I'm like, for me to be healthy, I need to be able to do that.
You need to not tie your worth to the food you put into your body.
Amen, sister.
So can you explain a little bit for those who may not know what intuitive eating is?
Yes.
Julie's eyes just lit up like a child on Christmas morning.
So here is the really cool thing. So I had this organic moment, right? This own journey of like, this is what health is to me. I have to be able to eat these foods like and not freak out about it. So then when I found intuitive eating, which basically agrees with me on that sentiment, it was like there was a science and there was research. And this is coming from a girl who loves research and really appreciates research. There's research to support this exact thing that I had felt. And when I got my hands on the intuitive eating book, I was like, oh my God, they're explaining my life. Like I feel so validated. Like everything my binging, it makes sense now. Oh my God. So what is intuitive eating? It is it's an evidence-based process of learning how to truly deeply connect with yourself and your body so that you can really nurture yourself and show up for yourself on a deep level.
Yeah.
And so it includes 10 principles that help you step-by-step work your way back to this place. Because the truth is that because we've grown up in this culture that praises one body over another, we all throughout our entire lives are like dieting, you know, and trying to lose weight and counting calories and points. And I think it's really important to say that all those things are disordered eating.
Yeah.
Counting calories is disordered. Tracking your food in MyFitnessPal is disordered. Not going out to eat because something that doesn't fit on your meal plan is disordered. Not eating for hours in a day is disordered. Cutting out a food group unless you have like a medical condition is disordered.
Yeah.
Period.
That is very, very important to know.
Because it is.
I think a lot of...
It's so normalized.
A lot of people feel like it's so normal to do these really... What equates to really restrictive eating patterns in the name of health.
Yes. They're not healthy. They're actually really, really bad for us.
Yeah.
And that's what the Health at Every Size research. So when I say Health at Every Size for all y'all out there, or HAES, it's a body of research that really shows essentially that we're all meant to come in different body shapes and sizes, and that, you know, we can try our best to lose weight, but our biology, our bodies will always win.
Yes.
And will always bring us back up to the weight range that we're all meant to be in. It's why some people are naturally thin and some people are naturally fat. Yeah. And every different weight in between. And that really our health, our weight is a very poor indicator of our health. And forever we're told that like, oh, BMI. BMI is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, let's just call that out right here. It was influenced by the two pharmaceutical companies who had the only weight loss drugs on the market available.
So again, let's repeat that the two companies who were selling weight loss products created and influenced the BMI scale.
Yes. The numbers that were chosen.
Which is the numbers that were chosen to measure a person's health.
Yes. And actually BMI was created by an astronomer.
An astronomer, you said.
It was never meant to be used in health settings.
A star doctor?
Yes.
So somebody who has not studied my body, but has been studying the stars, which congratulations, I love the stars. But what the actual fuck?
Totally. It's to make us feel like we need to spend all our money in the $70 billion industry to lose weight and be healthy. But actually, people in the quote-unquote overweight to quote-unquote moderately obese categories live at least as long or longer than the people in the quote normal weight categories.
I, for one, am going to live to be 112 and I'm going to show my stomach every day.
Hell yeah, you are, Steph. Hell yeah, you are. So back to intuitive eating. Yeah. It helps us. So we're all born intuitive eaters, but through all these rules that we have, we all get away from it.
Yeah.
Because now we no longer have peace with food. And so let's look at me, for instance. I binged. I mean, I was a binger.
Yeah.
And that led to, I mean, my bulimia, right? Like, which, by the way, I never really self-identified it as bulimia until like last year, which is kind of like crazy to me. I was actually met up with a local eating disorder social worker, if I'm getting that title right. She's awesome. And she's new to the area. And so we met up and got a coffee or whatever. And I was sharing my story with her. And she was the one that was like, oh yeah, you were bulimic.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of wild to me to like really be like, yeah.
I had a really, really similar experience recently also. You know, when I started working with my coach to change my mindset about my body, and I was explaining the years of my life when I didn't eat and would maybe eat one small thing a day. And she's like, well, that's anorexia.
Yeah.
That's, you had an eating disorder. Yeah. Because I too was a big binge eater.
Yeah.
I had no control. It was either no control or all control.
Yeah.
But being able to acknowledge that, like, I lived with an eating disorder for a long time is a big thing. Because, you know, when you go from being in a bigger body to a still bigger body, it's not really acknowledged.
That is such a problem in the field
that
people only think eating disorders exist or are a problem if you are severely underweight.
Yeah.
When they don't realize, and quote unquote underweight, because what they don't realize is that for someone who's meant to live in a bigger body, underweight for them will still look big.
Yeah.
So they're not seen as having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're praised.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you haven't eaten. Oh, my God. Good job. Seriously, right? Like, they're praised.
I mean, oh, how much more do you have to lose? You look amazing.
Yeah.
Is something I heard regularly. And it's so damaging when you are injuring yourself. You're hurting your body.
The compliments fed.
And everybody
fed my eating disorder.
Same.
And that's why it's so important that we never never, never comment on people's body sizes, period. Yeah. And I know that we mean well. So this is said with like so much love and compassion. Like we mean well by saying like, oh, you look so great. We mean well, but it's damaging. And it's still, yeah. no matter what, it's still confirming and reinstating that like a thinner body is better.
Yeah.
Which is again, simply discrimination because we're all meant to come in different body shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
And when we lose weight, like can you lose weight short term? Well, yeah, of course you can. You restrict and yeah, calories and whatever. You lose weight, but will it come back? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And 95% of the time, it's going to come back.
Yeah.
The research shows it. I mean, and 60% of the time, you will gain back more weight than you started with. And yet here we are blaming ourselves. What's wrong with me? Like, why can't I stick to a diet? Oh, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's the diet.
The diet is the problem.
If diets work, we'd all be thin.
That's true.
It's like that simple.
And if, you know, if losing weight and being thin actually yeah. made you happy and your life perfect, then of course we would all be thin
yeah.
because everything would have clicked into place.
And if weight loss worked, yeah, then we would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would all be living right. those lives, but it's not true.
And can we also just back up? And I think because we get so caught up, like, oh, because like, for our whole lives, we're told that we're all supposed to be thin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But step back and think about this. We're all different heights, right? We all mm-hmm. have different shoe sizes,
mm-hmm.
hand sizes. We have big noses and little noses, giant titties and tiny ones, big butts and tiny butts. And, you know, like, we have all these different qualities and characteristics. Wide hips, broad shoulders, narrow shoulders. Big heads, little heads. I don't know.
I got a big head.
Dumbo ears. Like, I don't know. Right? Like, we all
green eyes, blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Blonde hair.
Yeah.
Brown hair. Whatever. Skin colors. Hi. Yeah. Like, hello.
All of it.
Black skin, white skin. Like, are you kidding me? Like, all different colors.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that we're all supposed to, like, be a size, like, 0 to 10? Like… You know what I mean? Like, we're yeah. all supposed to be like in a thin body?
Yeah, that's the one thing about us that is all supposed to be exactly identical.
Like, when you really think about it, it just doesn't make sense. And like, look around.
Mm-hmm.
We're all different.
Well, and something that I have heard you say and that I also think about is the same two people could eat the same
yes.
diet
yes.
and do the same exercises
yes.
and live their lives
yeah.
in identical fashions,
uh-huh.
which number one, none of us are doing. But even if those two people did that, their bodies would still look
be different.
They would still
yes.
be different because
yes.
that is just
yeah.
nothing. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's
yeah.
body responds to things differently
uh-huh.
and needs taken care of in different ways. And it's such bullshit that society has taught us that there is a right and a wrong way to treat our bodies.
Amen, sister. Amen. And that's why I tell my clients, you know, is I'm like, wait a minute. Because, you know, most women come to me like, I can't seem to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the missing piece. And these are women who have gone to and graduated from college. And a lot of them will even have like graduate degrees. And they're lawyers or, you know, they have families or, you know, they have their own businesses and they have all these amazing things in their lives and these amazing people. And I'm like, wait, so you've gotten a degree, maybe gotten multiple degrees, you've opened your own business, you have like a successful marriage, or you have birthed a child, or have like traveled the world, or like created this artwork, or like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all that, but you can't stick to a diet?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, right? Like
yeah.
I call bullshit. It's not the diet's fault. It's not your fault. It's the diet's fault.
Well, and a big thing is that we discount all of those many things that
yeah.
we have done in our lives
right.
because they don't matter unless our body is right first.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And that's just, I call bullshit. I call
yes.
bullshit.
We call bullshit.
Because you know what? We are so much more than our bodies.
Amen.
The things that I've built, the things I've done, the people I love, the places I've gone are so mm-hmm. much more fucking interesting than what size my jeans are.
Amen. Amen.
So tell me.
So intuitive eating. So, 10 principles.
Tell me a little bit about what you do with your clients. Yeah. What coaching and this will help looks like for
really
you.
Paint more of a picture of intuitive. So I work, I have both do private coaching and then I have a really fabulous group program called the Diet Detox 180 that is just relaunched. I'm super stoked about it. And both programs, whether, you know, I work with one-on-one or in groups, they, I help these women. I walk them through this evidence-based process of learning how to let go of the rules, really let go of control and replace it with this deep connection where they make peace with food. Because when you have full permission to eat any and all food, you can then actually be empowered to make the decision of what do I really want right now? What's going to actually feel good in my body? What's going to really serve me well? Sometimes that's going to be, you know, a salad and whatever. And sometimes that'll be a giant juicy cheeseburger and french fries, right?
Yeah.
Depending. Just like depending. And to eat without any guilt. To eat without stress. To make eating easy again. Yeah. Same thing goes for movement of like learning how to connect with your body. A big thing is really like letting go of the all or nothing mentality. Mm-hmm. That's huge because dieting is really based in all or nothing. They call intuitive eating like the anti-diet because it is literally the opposite of a diet. Yeah. And a big framework within intuitive eating is this idea that you can't fail because we're always learning and growing.
Hell yeah.
So you can't fail. So it's great. Yeah. Like we mean that. Like we mean that. Like you really can't fail because we're always learning and growing. So if you eat past the point of fullness, you didn't fail. Just notice, how do you feel? What maybe led to this? Would you choose it again? Sometimes we might choose to overeat. And that's fine. Right? Yeah. But so I really help women like work through this process, you know, emotional eating, all that kind of stuff. A lot of body image work. But that really depends based on the person. Mm-hmm. Not every woman I work with has a ton of body image issues. Some do, and we'll spend multiple sessions on that. And some it's really, it clicks faster. Or some it's just like more about food or exercise or whatever. Yeah. So really it's about empowering them to make peace with food, body, you know, exercise and themselves.
Yeah, to connect back to themselves.
Yeah. All this like living stuff becomes easy again.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that time and time again, what every client says, and this is my own experience too, because intuitive eating like changed my life.
Yeah.
Is it empowers us when we are able to shed all of those rules, all the stress, all the guilt, all the distraction of food and calories and exercise and body shit, right? When we're able to let all of that go, it frees up so much brain space.
Yeah.
I mean, so much. I mean, I opened a business. It freed up so much brain space, right?
Absolutely. The things that you would not believe what you can accomplish in a day when you are not fucking worried about what you look like and you're not arguing with yourself about what you're allowed to eat.
One of my latest clients, and I think this is a really amazing story. And a lot of my clients have similar stories to this. So like there's that. She's just like one of the most recent ones. She, at the beginning of coaching together, was like, I love to write. I love creative writing. I would love by the end of working together to be writing on a consistent basis. I have more brain space. I had the capacity to actually write my novel that I've always wanted to write.
Yeah.
Well, throughout coaching, we would celebrate, oh my gosh, like I've been writing so much. Like, and she wrote like pages and pages and pages in her novel. And on our final call together, she's like, Julie, you're not going to believe this. I'm actually writing my letter of resignation right now, quitting the full-time job that I realized I hate so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm dedicating myself to my novel and to a year of creative writing.
That's incredible.
Like, what? But the thing is, I see that time and time again. My clients go on and get new jobs or get promotions or fall in love or buy the fucking pool pass and like enjoy summer again.
I feel very strongly about a pool pass.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Live your, it enables you to live your life.
To live your life.
Like we talked about in my episode last week, I feel like I was only 40% active in my own life because 60% of my brain was constantly focused on what I ate, what I looked like, what other people thought of me.
Yeah.
And to be able to gain that 60% of my brain back. It's unbelievable. I started my business and now my business is to help other women to empower themselves to take their lives back. And that's what you do also. And I think that's why we have the connection we do, because we are just trying to help people connect back to themselves.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's amazing what happens when you are able to replace control with connection.
Yeah.
And I know it freaks out people so much. And so, and there's this big paradox that happens because people are like, oh no, like I need control. Otherwise I will binge. But actually what happens is that that control is what leads to your binging.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, straight up.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
So we're getting to the end.
Ah!
So to wrap this up a little bit, you know, we've talked about your path growing up. If you were to give some advice to your younger self, to young Jules, what do you wish that she knew?
Oh, it's funny because like I know this question's coming because, spoiler alert, we're going to end our podcast every week with this question.
Yeah, I felt the same way. We love this question. I still didn't know how to answer it.
You did a great job though.
Oh, thank you. You're going to do a great job. I already know.
Thank you. Okay. If I was to tell my younger self anything, I would love to tell her that simply that she is so much more than her body size and that she can do whatever she wants in this great, big, beautiful life, no matter what she looks like. And to focus on who she wants to be in this world, how she wants to feel in this world, on how she wants to make other people feel. Because that's what fucking matters. Not what you look like in the mirror. Not what you look like in a bikini. Not what numbers on the scale. None of other people think you look fit enough to do whatever you're doing. None of that matters. That you can fall in love, that you can create the life of your dreams, you can be successful, be happy, be confident, be all those things you dreamed of in the body you have without having to change it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Jules. Thanks for another
Steph.
another amazing evening in the Babesmith.
The Babesmith.
Thank you all for listening. And we will see you for our first big interview next week.
And hey, like we're new, right? This is a brand spanking new podcast. So what do they say? Like subscribe and like review us.
like and subscribe.
And share. Share it on your Instagram story or whatever. Like we want to get the word out. So
yeah, come follow us
and share it.
Come follow us on Instagram at the Babesmith Pod. Thank you all so much for listening to our second episode. If you like what we're talking about, if you have questions, please send them to us at our Instagram at the Babesmint Pod
or via email.
Via email, thebabesmint@gmail.com. We would love to hear from some of you if you have questions for myself or for Jules.
We're actually going to have one podcast every month where we dedicate to answering questions.
Answering questions, talking about
different issues
that come up. As we know, things come up all the time.
Yeah.
So we really want to dedicate this space not only to interviewing others about their lives, their stories, their journeys, but also to talking to all of you about what's going on and how we're all feeling.
We want this to be a community.
Yeah. The biggest thing for Jules and I that we do at our events and that we want this podcast to be is that it's a discussion. It's not just the two of us lecturing at anybody. And, you know, obviously we're the ones here plugged in, but you all can be just a part of this as we are. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you want to hear from us. So hit us up, let us know. And we love you.
Yeah. Have a great week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of The Babesmint.
We hope you're feeling a little more at home in your body and inspired as hell.
If you are ready to change your relationship with your body and yourself, we're here for you.
Snag a goddess session with Steph.
Or check out Jules' free masterclass to free yourself from diet culture for good.
The links are on our website to learn more and sign up.
And of course, if you loved this episode, we'd so appreciate it if you spread the love a little bit.
Share the app.
Rate the show.
Leave a review.
Subscribe.
You know what to do.
It's 2020.
Until next time.
Thanks. We love you. Bye.